Hi, I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack.
And this is The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast. We got a big show today. We have Vanderpump Rules Reunion Part 1 to talk about.
Coming in hot.
Yes. And we also want to talk about The Real Housewives of Potomac season premiere.
I'm so glad it's back.
Yes. And then Beverly Hills, we had that camping trip. Mm-hmm. Happy endings. And we're also going to be talking about Portia's having a baby. And then we have interviews with Portia Williams and Giselle Bryant.
And as always, we're going to wrap up with Rose and Thorn. But before we get into it, we wanted to let everyone know that coming up this week, you guys, we actually have a big marathon happening on Mother's Day. So snuggle up with the woman who gave you life and watch family-related episodes of your favorite Bravo shows.
Yeah, Bravo is airing adorable episodes like Brandi Redman from The Real Housewives of Dallas adopting her son, episodes from The Real Housewives of New Jersey where Jacqueline and Teresa have their babies, and Cameron Eubanks' baby shower on Southern Charm, plus so much more.
It's an all-day marathon on Sunday, 5/12, so make your favorite lady some breakfast in bed and tune in. Vanderpump Rules Reunion Part 1. Wow.
I loved it.
We had a warning from Lala, if you guys remember last week, where she talked about like Andy getting up and separating Jax and James. So we knew just from the previews and everything that we've heard from the cast that it was going to be a shit show, and it was a shit show.
In the best way.
In the best way. Okay, so where do we even begin?
Lala's lips.
That's a great place to start.
Can I tell you? I thought they looked amazing.
They have a wonderful shape and definition.
They just look so kissable.
She looked fantastic. She talked about like the dress that she wore. She wanted to get ratchet in. Her eyebrows looked great. Her makeup looked great. She looked fantastic.
But I did think it was interesting that they accused Lala of not sharing enough of her life.
I found that really interesting because I think I've mentioned to you, maybe not even as much on the show, but like off, you know, when we're not recording, about how we really don't see Randall ever. And it was interesting because the cast kind of brought up that like they all have relationships with him. Like they hang out with him outside of the show and when cameras aren't rolling. And it was kind of interesting how everyone was sort of defensive about like, why do you get this special treatment where your relationship is private and the rest of us are kind of living our relationships out on the show? I mean, everyone is at this point, except for Lala.
Right. I mean, Sheena was really adamant about it. And I mean, she kind of even said, my boyfriends have been on the show because they knew that my job depended on it, mm-hmm. which is sort of an interesting layer to this, which is, you need to be sharing in order to be a viable part of the show.
Right.
So why is it that Lala gets to be part of the show and not share her relationship?
I think maybe that's what everyone is sort of saying, that she maybe feels like it's not her livelihood anymore because she's with Randall.
Separate. I just think everyone else gives 100%, and as much as you are an amazing addition, I do think it's unfair to not give 100%.
Well, then find someone who has a career.
Because I feel like everyone else is saying, like, this is what we do and this is how the show is. Like, we share our lives. So, like, why are you not doing that?
Right. But I thought Lala brought up a great point, which she said to Sheena, you're bringing guys on the show who want camera time. It's not like your real life. It's just guys who want camera time.
Right. And that's been my whole argument with Adam this season. Yes. With his big, like, epic monologue in the finale episode and everything. So it is an interesting point. I mean, you do have those kind of people who are clinging on to fame. And I think that's a little bit of, you know, the accusation that even Raquel got from a lot of people, being like, she wants, you know, camera time. She's looking for her 15 minutes of fame. And she tried so hard to defend herself against that as well and just kept kind of digging herself deeper with the whole beauty queen thing, you know?
Oh, that was hard to watch.
It was hard to watch.
I can see how you might think, like, okay, Raquel, this beauty queen, like, she wants her limelight.
I really did feel bad for her, and I have felt bad for her this whole season.
I mean, because look, James is being attacked this whole reunion every time he opens his mouth, but at least he's somewhat deserves it. Like, yeah. He's kind of being an asshole, right, with everything he says. Raquel is just a sweet little thing, and she's getting attacked every time she says something.
Yeah, I mean, just the things that they say about her, you know, about how stupid she is. I love the moment where Andy, like, pretty much threw shade at everyone else in that room, being like, Raquel, you're the only one here with a college degree. Why do you think everyone thinks you're stupid? And she's sort of like, I don't know. Like, I'm going for a master's. Like, you know, I lived in LA, as you guys know, and I've met a lot of people who, you know, are kind of like the Valley girl, who, like, maybe they talk a little slower. Like, they just have a different sort of demeanor. So everyone kind of is, like, you know, sitting around calling Raquel stupid. But I think a lot of it also not just ties into her intelligence, but sort of the way that she keeps defending James and doesn't really hold him accountable and see through, like, how mean he is. And she sort of tries to defend herself and be like, that's part of our relationship. Like, I'm here to help him work through his issues because I care about him, which I think is kind of a mature way of looking at it.
Well, what did you think that she said? Yeah, I totally think he messed around before I moved in with him.
I think that James wasn't completely faithful to me before we moved in together.
Right. It was sort of like, she kind of just, like, threw that away, you know? She was just sort of like, yeah, probably, I'm not sure. I mean, maybe it was their understanding at the time when they weren't living together, because I think they said that she wasn't living in L.A. for the right. first part of their relationship. So maybe it was sort of like, you know, different area codes, different, you know, like, we're in different situations right now, but when we make this choice. But it's kind of crazy to think that you went from, like, this sort of maybe open relationship to then all of a sudden moving in together and being completely, you know, exclusive.
True.
But maybe it was sort of like she did kind of know, and she just sort of looked the other way.
So one part that was really frustrating for me to watch was when we got onto the topic of Tom Tom.
Yeah.
Because Tom Sandoval, Tom Schwartz are asking legitimate smart questions about the business, right? And, like, kind of bringing up good points about, anytime you had an opportunity to say we were doing a great job, you said that we were slackers and da-da-da-da-da. We aren't being paid right now. Can you explain that? And Lisa just wrote everything off as being negative.
Right.
I don't want this negativity. It's not negativity. It's genuine, like, are we partners or aren't we?
Right. Like, how is this working? I was kind of surprised that, you know, I don't know if that's traditional in the restaurant business or in any kind of business that you invest in, that, like, those details aren't worked out prior. But I was sort of like, this is where we're having the conversation at the reunion, like, months after the opening. Like, now we're figuring out why don't they get a salary, and, like, where's all of this? So it's just kind of crazy that they made it that far. And I feel like, you know, Lisa does coin herself a businesswoman, so, like, why wasn't all of this talked about prior and discussed? And that was, you know, kind of what you were saying about Ariana's point being like, she's not taking them seriously. She's making fun of them. She's saying they're not doing enough work. But she sort of left them out of a lot of things. And now it's really showing, especially right. at the reunion.
Well, I want to get into that because Ariana, you know, did have that conversation in the finale with Lisa Vanderpump.
Yeah.
And then I think in the Vanderpump Rules after show was kind of like it was a pointless endeavor.
Yeah. Ariana had some things to say during the after show. So if you guys want to check that out, BravoTV.com. But most recently, as of today, there are some screenshots going around of John Sessa.
First of all, John Sessa tweeted out a Bravo TV link. So thank you, John.
Thank you, John.
But then he tweeted, how disrespectful and disloyal, Ariana, to Lisa Vanderpump, someone who has given you a job for 8 years and countless opportunities. Enjoy your new $2 million home.
Ooh.
Yeah. And then Ariana responded, okay, John, we've been friends for years and have had plenty of deep conversations about this stuff. You tweeting this little prepared paragraph instead of just texting me is very telling.
Right. Well, and it's also kind of goes to my theory, though, that, like, even tying into Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, like, this whole Puppygate situation that just won't go away. I've said from the beginning that I feel like Sessa or someone else in the camp has something to do with it, and maybe Lisa doesn't know or whatever, but, like, this kind of meddling and this kind of, like, public behavior of his, like, tweeting that out, like, for everyone to see, like, I'm sort of like, what are you after, John Sessa, you know? Like, why don't you call Ariana or text her about that and say, like, why would you do that? Why put it publicly? What did you think about James sort of attacking Brittany in that way of, like, the hillbilly?
Well, not only the hillbilly, but saying she isn't pretty enough to be a beauty queen. Like, James, this is what we've been talking about all season. You can't say shit like that anymore. Right.
Brittany, you have your f***ing babies and go to Kentucky. You belong there with those hillbillies.
You, James.
Do you understand?
Talk about my family one more time.
Calling people hillbillies?
I'm a hillbilly. Like him doing the whole person. It was so silly. It made me laugh. But, oh, Brittany was pissed.
Yeah. I mean, he's so funny to me to watch. But it's like he's so mean and he really goes for the jugular. And like all of the progress that he keeps saying he's making throughout the season and everything, like, it takes 1 second for him to totally flip and just, like, he has no control over that anger and then no filter. And right. It's just sort of like, dude, you're digging yourself deeper.
No kidding.
Well, we'll see what happens next week.
Yes.
Yeah. Real Housewives of Potomac is back.
Back.
I'm so excited. So, what's the deal with Sherman?
Oh, guess what? I'm going to Candace's wedding.
With Sherman.
Yay, our favorite.
What is going on between the two of them?
Well, it seems like they're back together.
I mean, I feel like there's been so much back and forth. Like, what is it that's holding him up? Is it sort of a Tinsley Scott situation that he just doesn't want to deal with the limelight? It's too much drama for him. Like, he doesn't want to be a part of, like, Giselle's public life.
I mean, yeah, I feel like we haven't really gotten a clear answer as to why things didn't work out the first time.
Yeah.
What did you think of Ashley and Michael's sexy intro?
Now that is something that made me uncomfortable.
I mean, so uncomfortable. I'll tell you guys that we were all watching it in a conference room together. Like, they were showing us the premiere early, and everyone in the room was just like, oh, God, because I'm sorry, it doesn't matter who you are. Like, people don't want to watch you having an intimate moment with someone.
No, and it's, you guys will hear, it comes up in our interview with Giselle later on, and she basically is like, that was softcore porn. Nobody wants to see that. Like, it doesn't matter who it is. It's like
putting the whipped cream on her, not even her boobs, like her...
What do you even call this?
The clavicles. Her chest plate.
Her rib cage. I don't even know. I mean, I guess that whole moment, or at least, you know, from an editing standpoint, was to really contrast what we're going to see in the next... You know, it flashes forward 2 months being, like, the allegations and whatever. So I guess it's just sort of setting up how... you know, different that situation is going to be compared to this, like, cute, romantic, but awkward moment. So, I don't like it. Because we know that the charges were dropped. You know, we kind of heard all about that as it was unfolding. So it'll be interesting to see how they experienced that situation firsthand. I also wanted to ask you about Candace. And her mom is, like, funding her whole life. She's funding a significant portion of the wedding. So, like, her tagline talks about her being, like, woke now.
Mm.
But I feel like the issues that we're seeing her go through at the moment are kind of the opposite of that. Like, she's not woke to, like, how special and privileged her situation is.
Right, because, like, her biggest dilemma is, I just want my mom to pay for things but not give her input.
Right.
My wedding is my wedding. It's mine. It's not yours. It's mine. Why is that hard for you to understand? Think about me for 1 second. Not the checks you're writing, but think about me.
Yeah.
She's like, it's my wedding. I mean, she's like screaming at her. And I'm like, I understand it. And, you know, I'm kind of on the fence with the whole, like, brother situation that, like, you know, Candace has this relationship with him and she wants him to come to the wedding and her mother feels disrespected because that was, you know, what I think she refers to it as, like, a sin, you know, that's, like, coming back to haunt her.
We have developed a relationship. And I have invited him to the wedding.
That's bullshit, Danny. It's bullshit, bullshit, bullshit.
This situation with your dad and his cheating and his lying, that's what you're bringing into the wedding.
I'm not bringing that into the wedding.
Yes, that's what you're bringing into.
So it's a little bit of a tough situation, but I don't know. Whose side are you on with that?
She should be allowed to have her brother at the wedding.
I mean, I think fundamentally that's the case.
Also, she said that her mom married him after this happened.
Right.
So,
and it was so long ago at this point.
Yeah, and by the way, he was totally innocent in it. You know, he's just a son.
That's the thing, is you can't really punish the kids for, like, something that their parents have done. So it just seems like her mother is really particular and probably cares a lot about image and that sort of stuff, and that having him at Candace's wedding, she feels like looks bad on her, but, like, it's not about you. It's Brain. About Candace and her brother.
Are you happy that Robin and Juan are back together?
I am, because I feel like, you know, they've been through so much together, and we've seen them really grow a lot. Like, last season, having that experience with the medium that I think, like, tied up a lot of questions that they had. It's just, like, I feel like, why not? You know, like, they seem to work so well. It kind of reminds me of, like, Dolores and Frank Catania from Real Housewives of New Jersey. I'm just kind of like, why aren't you guys together? Like, yeah. you work so well together and you care about each other so much. And so I feel like I'm hoping maybe this season we'll continue to see that relationship, like, grow, and maybe they'll think about getting married again.
That would be awesome.
Right? I wanted to ask you what your take is on Karen's friend, Matt.
Oh, Matt. What? What do you even say about Matt?
He shows up in this episode with, like, you know, some, like, rainbow sandals and just sort of, like, you know, a very average-looking outfit. And, like, it's, you know, he seems like a really nice guy, and Karen cares so much about him. But I'm just, like, I'm so confused at the relationship. Well, you know, we actually did interview Karen as well, and that interview will be coming out next week, and we asked her about it, and we got into a little bit of the story. It's sort of like a mentorship relationship that became friends and then sort of became like family. She met him when he was really, really young. But it's just sort of like, you know, he was at the press conference last season too. And like, right. Ashley Darby was like, I thought this was your lawyer. And she's like, oh, no, this is just my friend. And it's like, it's sort of a weird, like, is he an assistant? Is he a friend? Like, what is his role in your life?
Yeah. It seems like he's just emotional support, maybe.
Yeah.
But it's still odd.
Yeah.
Like, the age difference and all that.
Right.
I don't know.
Right. Because he was like, last season, like, oh, I met her 12 years ago. And everyone's like, what, when you were 9? Like,
yeah, I know.
I don't understand.
Because even just now you said, well, she met him when he was really young. I'm like, wait, how young? Because he's, like, young now.
Right. Yeah. So I think we're going to see more of him this season. You guys will hear in Karen's interview next week. She kind of explains the relationship more, so it makes a little bit more sense. But it is just really interesting that he keeps popping up. He's kind of, like, the one person who you're sort of like, what's going on here?
What's that about?
So we'll learn. I also just have to say, Milani, Monique's daughter, is the cutest thing I have ever seen.
She is so cute.
Like, adorable. I can't even take it. She needs more camera time, please.
It's like, no wonder Chris wants so many babies. He has some really cute kids.
They're beautiful. I know. We also sat down with Giselle Bryant from Real Housewives of Potomac, and she filled us in on exactly what's going on with her and Sherman, her friendship with the grand dame, Karen Huger, and she gives us some advice for moms who are jumping back into the dating world. So here's that interview. Guys, we are here with Giselle Bryant from the Real Housewives of Potomac. Mm-hmm. Hi, Giselle.
Hello, hello.
So I have to ask, mm-hmm. what's the deal with Sherman? Because we see it a bit of a rocky start this season.
Yes. But in the beginning of the season, I really felt like at that point we were going to be great. Everything was going to be fine. But then he did something horrible.
Right. Okay. So how did you react to when he reached out to you again?
That was nice. We had actually missed each other. So we were happy to be spending time together. Everything was great. We were actually seeking therapy to try to make things right.
Did Monique ever apologize to him for what she said?
No. And never. He didn't care to hear her apology, and he thinks she's a horrible person, and, you know, I might think so too.
Do you have any advice for other moms who are out there
yes.
joining the dating world again?
Yes. Just because you have kids, you can't be scared of it. You can't be scared of bringing people around your children, thinking that potentially it might not work out, and then how are my kids going to react to that situation? You have to just kind of, like, go for it and just trust the universe.
Do you go to your daughters for dating advice? Because we see you kind of talking to them a little bit in the first episode.
I don't go to them. They come to me.
Okay.
And they give me their opinion because
right.
they're my kids.
Yeah.
So, and they're so beyond opinionated. And I like their opinion. I want them to really share with me how they feel about these guys, and because, you know, I come with a package. I come with a bunch of kids. I come with a bunch of businesses. So I want everything to work and just be perfect in a great universe. That always doesn't happen, as we see,
right.
But I'm trying.
Outside of dating, I feel like they also talk to you a little bit about your friendships and like where you stand with Karen and those sort of things.
So. Yes, they do. They know that I can be very direct and upfront and in your face. And they're not those kind of girls. They're very sweet. So they want me to be a little bit more sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you did end up being invited to Candace's wedding.
Of course.
Were you excited about that?
How can you have a wedding without me? Just be clear.
It's true.
Yes. So the wedding was actually fantastic, fabulous, wonderful. Loved the wedding. Very impressed by what her mother put together, because, you know, her mother paid for the whole thing. And
right.
She was very clear about telling everybody at the wedding how much she paid for it. Okay. So that was interesting. I've never had a mother go around and tell everybody how much she paid.
Right.
But I truly appreciated the fact that we were all there. We had a great time as a cast.
We see, I think, in the preview clip for episode 2 that there is a little bit of drama. I think there is a confrontation with you and Monique.
Yes. Well, you see that her husband had to inform her that she needed to apologize to me for all that she did and tried to act like she didn't do. I don't know why her husband had to tell her that. I don't know why she couldn't figure that out on her own, but fine. And she did. She tried to apologize to me at the wedding.
And then is there someone who bails on you for the wedding?
Yes.
And did we already discuss this person in the interview?
Yes. Those are two yeses.
Interesting. Okay, so we'll see that play out next week.
Yes, and why we're not speaking to that person to this day.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. So we also see at the start of the season, you and Karen are still kind of a little bit rocky.
Yeah.
Where do you think you guys went wrong in the past?
Well, you know, Karen doesn't like my jokes. She thinks that they're not funny. I think my jokes are hilarious. But I've realized that Karen is at a super sensitive point in her life. I mean, both of her parents have passed. Because of it, this season, you'll see me interacting with Karen in a different way. I don't joke with her and play around with her. I just really want to be there for her as a friend. You'll see in episode 1, I tried to do that. Didn't go very well.
Right. I mean, you kind of did exactly what she had asked. She
said
in the reunion, like, you need to be there for me. You need to knock down my door.
Knock down my door.
And you're like, hi, I have cookies.
Yes.
And she's like, thank you, but no.
Yeah, thank you, but get out, ho. So I didn't like it. I didn't appreciate it. And, like, you're sitting there with Matt. I can't come in, but you're going to sit there with Matt and chit-chat with him. Yeah, no. So, I don't know. Karen and I've realized we do have ups and downs, ins and outs, but we respect each other at the end of the day, and there is love there. So, I'm going to just tread lightly. Whenever the Grand Dame wants to entertain me, that's fine.
So, I did watch a little bit ahead, and I do see at the wedding, you kind of go up to her during the reception and kind of go again and try to be like, hey, like, I really want to reconnect.
Yeah.
So, did she receive it at that time? Because she didn't really receive the cookies. I mean, she took the cookies.
Yes. And she ate the cookies. she did. But again, you'll see, I get to a point where I'm just sick of it. I'm sick of trying to be a friend, and you don't want me to be a friend. So... you told me that my jokes aren't funny. I stopped that. You told me you want me to just be a friend. I'm starting to do that. And now it's just like you have to jump through 18 million hoops with Karen, and I'm not a circus animal.
Right.
Yeah.
So regarding the cookies, we know you have a lot of businesses going on. Is there any future for a cookie business by Giselle?
I mean, who knows? But I'm super excited about where Every Hue is. Mm-hmm. Love the fact that you guys have been able to follow me through my Every Hue journey. So excited right now currently about my book, My Word, which has debuted at number 1 on Amazon. Thank you very much.
Woo, 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 woo.
So a cookie business, I think that's in order.
Okay.
Yes, maybe.
Is there anything else lined up business-wise?
Kind of, as it relates to the book. So I'm kind of in talks about turning the book into like some sort of TV something. So either miniseries, mm-hmm. a play. I see it hitting Broadway. It's going to be something.
Wow.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Thanks.
So what else do we have to look forward to the rest of this season? Because we have a lot coming down the pipe just based on what we saw in the Super Tease.
Yes. Season is actually fantastic. It's the best ever. You see me getting my little self together, going to therapy. You see more of my family because we go to New Orleans.
Right.
The Creole Queen has to introduce my entire family to the world. My dad turns 80. We celebrate. You see the ladies really showing who they truly are in a great way. I think that the audience will absolutely fall in love with Candace by the end of the season. We're going to have some ups and downs with Candace. But by the end of the season, Candace is going to win. We see all kinds of tomfoolery and shenanigans with that Michael Darby.
That's right.
Do we want to talk about that?
I mean, it's interesting. I mean, we do see a preview of it in the first episode where there's kind of this scene with him and Ashley. And then all of a sudden, they're like 2 months in the future. Yeah. And you're like, oh, God.
But I was disgusted with the soft porn whipped cream and strawberry nonsense.
Yeah, there's been a lot of conversation in the office about that scene.
What was that?
I don't know.
Anyway, I think that I'm super happy for Ashley now. Currently, she's, you know, expecting.
Yeah.
We all know that the charges against Michael have been dropped.
Right.
But the way that we get there is beyond juicy and good.
We also, I wanted to mention, we see some old faces
return
this season. So what was it like reintroducing some of the older girls back into the group?
I actually did that. That was my, I brought Katie back to the group. And, you know, Katie is crazy Katie for a reason. So we'll see that play
out. So she's going to bring it.
She's going. Oh yeah, she's going to bring it.
Which personality does she bring?
She brings a lot. So she's going to bring it. She's going to lose it. She's going to, you know, all kinds of Katie we see, which we hadn't seen in the past.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a new Katie. But you know, Katie has gone through a lot since we last saw her season one. She lost her kids to her ex-husband.
Mm-hmm.
She's trying to get them back. She has a new little young boyfriend who's broke and lives with her. And I don't know what he does for a living. I think he's a security guard or something. I don't know. But we love her anyway.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, it sounds like a great season.
Yes.
Well, thank you, Giselle, for coming by. And we're very excited about season 4, Real Housewives of Potomac.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Eric, do you know what winter, spring, summer, and fall all have in common?
Well, they're all seasons.
No, that's when we get our FabFitFun boxes. You guys, FabFitFun is a seasonal subscription box delivered 4 times a year with beauty, fashion, home, fitness, and wellness products for just $49.99 a box.
Yes, and each box contains full-size products that are easily worth over $200. You can even customize your box and choose your products, or you can be surprised with each one.
Since Eric and I are practically twins, we both received a Sip by Swell water bottle in our spring box, which we're absolutely obsessed with.
I'm constantly sipping on it through the podcast recordings, and I'm even sipping on it right now.
This honestly is a great way to discover new brands and products that may become your new obsessions.
It's definitely a better way to shop.
Sign up for FabFitFun today. Make sure to use our code DISH to get $10 off your first box. Go to FabFitFun.com to sign up and be sure to use our promo code DISH for $10 off your first box.
That's over $200 worth of products for only $39.99.
Just be sure to use our code DISH. That's D-I-S-H to get $10 off your first FabFitFun box today. So Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
What a refreshing episode.
It was good, right?
Yes. I feel like everything that's happened this season, we really needed an episode like this that just kind of brought these women back down to earth.
I mean, maybe one of the reasons you liked this episode so much is Lisa Vanderpump wasn't in it. Not to say that you don't like her, but just,
right.
You know, that sort of, it's sort of a downer, like everything that's happening.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, she does come up a few times in conversation while they're there. Inevitably, it's going to happen just because it is such a big part of the story this season. And, you know, right now, Lisa's kind of just renovating her kitchen and that's sort of all that's going on. So I was just happy to see these girls like out of that Beverly Hills environment, kind of taking that time to bond. I do kind of wish Lisa had been there. Like, I think it'd be really funny to see her playing beer pong, like doing all of these things with the ladies, you know, if this whole Puppygate situation wasn't happening. But we'll see her again next week, so it's okay.
I think also one of the reasons this episode was so good is because, like, movies, what makes sometimes like a successful plot line is fish out of water.
Mm-hmm.
in this episode, that's what it was. Like, seeing these ladies who clearly have never been inside a grocery store have to buy themselves dinner for one night.
Rinna's like, I love a market. I'm like, what, have you never been to Vons before? It's like a main supermarket in LA. Come on, Rinna.
Oh my God, I love a market.
The one who was not a fish out of water that really surprised me is Dorit. Like, Dorit was crushing it at beer pong.
Oh my God. She closed her eyes at one point and she sunk it.
And was so good. And then she was like, won the rock climbing challenge. Yeah. She was like teaching everyone how to grill. Like, I was like, all of a sudden, I was like, oh my God, like, where did this side of Dorit come from? We've never really seen that.
Yeah.
I love it.
I know. I want more of her origin story.
Yeah.
Like, Dorit, the college years.
Right. Like, what was that about? Because I feel like there are some stories there. Next time she's in for an interview, we're going to go deep. We're going to go far back. I wanted to ask you about Camille when she puts on the harness.
Oh, God.
References how she wore one of those with her ex-husband.
I used to wear these contraptions with my ex.
What? Camille?
That's why we're no longer together.
You mean a strap-on? Oh, my God.
So are we to understand that she used to peg Kelsey?
She certainly made the motion of it, right?
Yeah.
Like, she's at one point.
Yeah.
You know, that happens in some relationships.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's just funny how she, like, continues to bring up, like, one minute she's like, I don't even remember having sex with the man. And then the next minute she's like, I used to do this with my ex-husband. And you're like, oh, okay.
I feel like you wouldn't forget pegging someone.
Especially Kelsey Grammer. It's true. I mean, but I thought it was kind of interesting, too, though, because later on in the episode, they're all, like, sharing, I think, the happy ending conversation, which I want to get into as well. But
yes.
She says something about, well, another freaky thing that I've done is, like, one time I was hooking up with this guy, you know, we were having sex here and there. He lived in New York. And I, like, put my finger up his butt.
I had a relationship with somebody in New York for 3 years. And we had these incredible sexual encounters doing all this
Like what details, please?
Well, they say a man has a better orgasm if you massage their prostate. So I went up and massaged his prostate through his bum hole.
So for that to also be a radical thing, like, I feel like once you hit pegging, like, there's very few things that become more, like, wild than that, you know?
Okay, so back to like, how do like, I talk
do we,
about
how do we go back to
how do I talk about this without revealing too much about my life? But didn't you feel like all these conversations that were sex related, mm-hmm. like, everyone is kind of prudish?
Yeah, more people than I think I expected to be.
I mean,
I wanted some more, like, people being like, well, actually, you know, like, I think there was an opportunity for people to, like, reveal, let their freak flag fly, and they didn't.
Right. And just the look on everyone's face, like, you've never even heard of that?
Yeah. So let's
don't knock it till you try.
Right, don't knock it till you try. They all were taking notes, though. They went home that night, and they were like, so, to all their respective husbands.
Okay, so happy endings.
Yeah.
Have you ever gotten one?
No, and I feel like it is maybe something that is like a rite of passage, or is it probably a lot more common than you would think. But I, number one, don't take myself to as many massages as I should, because I have a lot of knots and I hold a lot of tension in my shoulders. So I should
probably
be getting
in your
a massage.
Nether regions too. Yeah,
probably. But, like, I just have never, like, I've always thought of it as a little bit more of, like, a seedy thing. And, like, I think for me, it does come down to, like, what is the protocol? Like, and they ask Denise about it. They're like, well, how do you signal that, like, you want that or you don't want that? Or, like, is it a guy or a girl? Like, how do you, you know, there are a lot of unknowns to me at this point.
So I had talked to a guy who was getting a couple's massage with his girlfriend. And, you know, Aaron and I get couple's massages all the time. You don't see what's happening to the person next to you, right?
Right.
And at one point, the woman started to give him a happy ending. And he's like, I didn't know what to do. Like, I didn't know if I should say stop or don't. Like, and I didn't want my girlfriend to know. So
did he do it?
He did it.
While you were in, like, the next thing
Not
over?
Me. Oh, it's his girlfriend.
Oh, okay, okay, okay. Got it, got it, got it. Oh my God. Well, yeah, see, I guess once you're in there, you're just like, okay, I guess we have to go through with this.
And he said that she used a towel the whole time that was kind of rough.
Oh, that's strange. That's strange.
So he was like rubbed raw.
Well, so, and I think this comes up in the conversation too. A lot of the women are like, okay, we understand the happy ending from the male perspective, but how does it work with a female? Like, what, you know? So Erica kind of points out that, you know, from the female perspective, it could be that they go down on you.
Right.
But I feel like from what Denise was saying is it was more like they were using their hands or fingers, like whatever.
Okay, well, so in Sex and the City, it was a guy that went down on them. He was a masseuse.
Oh, right. They all went to the, yeah.
I remember when I moved to New York, I had read this story maybe on The Cut or something, and it was about this guy who was famous for happy endings, and like women go to him just for that, and that's all hands.
Wow. I mean, it makes sense. It totally makes sense. I'm just like, now I'm starting to think of like, what, like, consent and like the Me Too movement did, like how do
I'm sure if you said know? Stop like right, they right, they'll right. stop,
but it's like, do they ask you first? Like, I don't know. I'm also curious as to where Denise had this experience, because she was like, well, it wasn't here, which I assume to mean it wasn't in like the United States, like in America. Like, I feel like maybe she was abroad or something, so I'm just, I would like to know more, and like hopefully that is in her cast blog this week, because I need more on that story, Denise.
Oh, no. On the after show, she goes into it.
Oh, she does. Okay, good. Okay, good. I'm going to watch that clip as soon as we're done here.
Oh, but the other thing I couldn't believe how shocked the ladies were that Denise wanted Aaron to have that. And they were like, I could never. It's like, it's just a hand job.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like, and from Denise's perspective, she's sort of like, you'd never had one. Like, it's an experience you should have. Like, you know, obviously they're married now. She wants to spend the rest of her life. But, like, you know, there are some things that, like, everyone should experience. So I suppose we have a new thing on our bucket list, too, now.
Tug jobs.
So although it was a lot of fun and games for a while, we did see Teddy and Camille kind of get into it a little bit.
When they had their argument, you pushed yourself into that conversation. And I thought that was just between the two of them. And that's how I feel. And you sat down with Lisa Brennan and you said, I know, because I know everything, because I know. And I was like,
I didn't say I know everything.
You
said, I said, I'm very direct.
Did you say you're a know-it-all?
No,
I said she's a know-it-all. I said that.
Well, yeah, do you think Camille is two-faced or Teddy is a know-it-all or both?
I think a little bit of both. Like, I feel like Teddy does kind of feel like she's figured things out before. Maybe she's like heard everybody's perspective. You know, she kind of makes a lot of assumptions and kind of jumps to conclusions and is just totally convinced in something and wants to make everyone else kind of see it the way that she does. And I think Camille has kind of shown, especially in the last few episodes, that she's being a little two-faced to pretty much everyone in the cast. So it's a little bit of like, I feel like a couple seasons ago, it was sort of Dorit and Teddy just couldn't click. Like, they were not seeing eye to eye on anything. And I loved that in this episode, we got a little reference to the stemware or whatever.
Oh,
and
that, like, was amazing.
I thought that was good. So maybe it's just a little bit of, you know, Camille and Teddy just like don't really vibe.
I think you're right.
So you think it's both too? You think that both a little bit?
Yeah, I think that I understand why Camille gets frustrated with Teddy when Teddy was like, this is how you should handle it with Lisa Vanderpump. Like, just sometimes you don't want advice, you know? You just want to be able to handle things on your own.
Yeah.
But Camille obviously says one thing sometimes and another thing other times. But Kyle actually said in the after show that she thinks it's more about Camille being a people pleaser, which I think also makes sense.
Yeah. And I think the thing that sort of triggered Camille was that conversation Teddy was having with her, being like, you need to call Lisa Vanderpump on the phone and ask her to come to your wedding. It's your day. Like, I think Teddy was actually coming from a, like, Camille side of it, being like, if you want her there, it's your day, it's your wedding. Like, you should, she should be there to support you if you want that support. And so I think Camille kind of maybe interpreted what she was saying a little wrong and was sort of like, oh, she's such a know-it-all. She's telling me what I should do. And it's sort of like, well, she's kind of just looking out for you because she knows maybe your feelings would be hurt. She didn't come to your shower. Like, if you want her at your wedding, call her. And I know that we see in next week's episode, Camille and Lisa sit down. So that's going to be interesting to see how that conversation goes.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Porsha's baby special part two.
Loved it.
I loved it too. I feel like I want Porsha to have her own show forever.
Sometimes I don't like shows that are too feel-goody because I'm like, where's the drama? But this one I really enjoy.
Yeah. I think we're going to get a lot of drama in next week's episode too, just from the previews that we saw with the moms getting involved. And we got a glimpse into that in this particular episode. But the first thing I wanted to mention to you is that in the beginning of the episode, Porsha or Dennis, one of them is like, oh, we're about to go on a full year together. And I stepped back for a second. I was like, oh my God, like so much has happened to them in the span of 12 months.
Yeah.
Like met.
He got a tattoo of her name.
Yeah. Engagement, then pregnancy or?
No, pregnancy,
then engagement. Him moving into her place. Like so much has happened to them in such a short amount of time that I'm just sort of like, of course they haven't had time to figure out their living situation. Of course they haven't had time to plan a wedding. Like, they're doing too much all at once.
Okay. Also, to add a layer to that, within a year, have their own spinoff.
Right. That's true.
That must be crazy for him.
Yeah. I mean, he definitely probably did not expect his life to be this way when he met her 12 months ago. But here we are. And you know what? I'm glad we have Dennis in our lives.
I love him.
I do, too. What did you think of the nanny candidates?
I thought that the 25-year-old was too pretty. Right?
Yep. Yes. Yeah. Dennis liked her. And Porsha was like, mm-mm.
The Manny was interesting.
Yeah.
And then the lady that sung, right?
She was my favorite.
I mean.
Just go ahead and sing a little bit.
Jesus loves me. For the Bible tells me so.
All right. That was beautiful.
Who wouldn't want... I just thought it was funny that Porsha's mom started crying when she sung the... What was it?
Like, Jesus, some kind of Jesus hymn. Yeah, I don't know. But like, I would want a nanny to like serenade my child.
Yeah.
Just like that. Going back to the house situation that, you know, we see Porsha and Dennis facing, it kind of reminded me of what we saw Eva go through this past season, having her wedding and then deciding to move
right away,
like a week after that. Like,
it's
they're doing too
much.
Moving
is one of the most stressful things you can go through.
Yeah.
Don't do it while you're 9 months pregnant.
Right. And like, why add this pressure onto what you're already doing? Like, Dennis is putting a down payment on this place, but they just finished doing the nursery. Like, it's sort of like everybody's doing too much. Like, we need to tackle one thing at a time and just like make sure that everything you want to accomplish is being handled with the proper attention.
Yeah. What did you think about Mama Gina's conversation with Porsha?
I think Mama Gina is getting a little too involved and like overstepping some boundaries here. Like, I understand she is traditional, like Dennis says, and whatever, and she wants like a wedding before the baby, but it's sort of like it's too late for all that, you know, like that's too much going on.
True. But also, boundaries have gone out the window since she's moving in with them.
Right. I mean, I feel like I had the same reaction as their therapist when they were in there. And she was like, hold up. We're having this conversation and neither one of you have mentioned that your in-laws are moving in. Like, that's crazy.
We've been sitting here all this time and I'm thinking it's the two of you plus one. You're saying it's the two of you plus one plus two more and you all can't get it together?
Can you imagine?
Oh, I can't imagine.
I understand that they want, you know, support and need someone around to help. But if you're about to have a full-time nanny and then both of your in-laws moving in with you, that's too many people. Too many cooks in the kitchen.
Totally. Okay, I skipped ahead. You have to talk about this last line on your notes.
So the last line that I have here is about how this past weekend, Danny and I went out of town. We only went to Newark, so we literally didn't even really go out of town, but we went to a different state, so it counts, to visit his family. We saw Cher on Friday, which was amazing, and then his nephew's birthday party on the Saturday, so we stayed at his parents' place. And I think it was Sunday morning, I got up to brush my teeth, and without paying any attention, started brushing my teeth with his toothbrush. And it reminded me of, like, very, I think, the first episode of this last season of Atlanta where Portia and Dennis discussed that they share a toothbrush. And we had a whole conversation about it.
No, that she wanted to share his toothbrush. And he was like,
oh, and he
no.
was like, right, that's right. He was like, hell no. And I was
but
like, I am
team
Dennis. But
she said we do it every day at home. Oh,
no,
God.
No, no, no. I mean, as soon as I started, I, like, noticed it. And I looked at him and I was like, oh, my God. And then he went, ugh. Like, he made, like, a gag point. But he was kind of like, it's okay, it's okay. Like, he wasn't totally grossed out. But I was sort of like, okay, it's okay. Like, I caught it in enough time.
It's just... It's like one of those things where logically, yes, your tongues are in each other's mouths, but it's something different when you're talking about a utensil that's scraping out the plaque and the
right.
food.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was in the morning too. So like, it wasn't, you know, whatever. I'm sorry, Danny. I apologize. It's all good. But yeah, he said to me after it happened, he was like, you have to mention this on the podcast because of the Portia Dennis situation. And I was like, all right, that's fair.
So I talked to Portia Williams. We discussed Dennis, what he's like as a father to baby Pilar, how Pilar's already an Instagram star, and how wedding planning is going. Plus, she gives us an update on whether Nene ever gave her a baby present or not. Here's that interview. We are here with Portia Williams. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Congrats on baby Pilar.
Thank you.
How is it being a mom?
Oh, she is everything. Like, she's all I'm sitting here picturing her in my mind right now. Like, I'm so obsessed with that little girl. It's just amazing how much I love her so fast.
What do you feel like was the most unexpected part so far of having a baby?
Unexpected? I think the anxiety. Like, I just constantly think about her. Even if I let somebody feed her, I'm like, well, you're holding her bottle up right, and you got to burp her twice, and you got to this. Like, I'm like, oh, I'm hovering over anybody who's near her. Like, I'm super duper duper protective.
And how are the grandmas adjusting? Are they, you know, full timing it like you wanted?
Yeah. See, it was a big battle on the show. But yeah, they, while I'm here, they're actually at my house together watching PJ. Aww. So yeah, they're doing pretty good.
So the thing that I love the most about the baby special, because I watched the premiere, mm-hmm. is really getting to see more of your relationship with Dennis. Mm-hmm. How has he been as a father?
Dennis is a natural. He honestly is. I like to talk about hovering because he lets me, you know, do a lot, but he's right there if I need him. And in the middle of the night, that's what you want. Like, you don't want him solid dead sleep to where you don't want to wake him up to help. Like, he like sits there if I'm awake with PJ, and he's like, you want me to hold her? So he may have her for a couple hours and I may have him for a couple hours. He's very hands on. Even though he's back at work now, you know, doing a lot, when he's there, he's very hands-on with her. He loves his daughter. Like, and I think it has a lot to do, too, with their bond because they did skin-to-skin when she was born. Mm. Yeah, so she, you know, recognizes him, like, when he's talking to her, like, because he used to talk to her in my stomach. And she just, like, her eyes will open up and she's like, dad, you know, she can't say dad, but, you know. She knows her daddy.
Yeah. She's already an Instagram star.
Yes.
Who runs PJ's Instagram account?
PJ. That is PJ. It is not me. People keep saying like, oh, Portia, you're leaving these shady captions. No, it's PJ's Instagram. Okay. So if you comment and she comments back, you are special. Okay. Because that's her doing that.
Wow, she is gifted.
She is, isn't she? I mean, that's a milestone. When she got her Instagram, I was like, that's a major milestone. but yeah, so she has like almost 100,000 followers. And I think she told her followers the other day that they will be meeting her, seeing her face on Instagram the last episode of the show.
Ooh.
Yeah, I was like, oh, that's news to me, Miss PJ. But so yeah, I'm excited because, you know, as a mom, you know, you almost want to wear a t-shirt with her face on it. You're so proud of your little girl. But yeah, we decided to wait. So yeah, I'm excited. I can't wait to show her.
Who do you think she looks more like, you or Dennis?
I think she looks a lot like Dennis, but then there are some days when she wakes up and I'm like, oh my gosh, I see my baby picture. Like, you, she looks just like me. When she was born, she looked exactly like him. And that's why she ended up being named Pilar, because we had a deal. I said, if she comes out and she looks just like me, I'll name her Portia Jr., which is what he wanted, because her nickname was PJ Portia Jr. But when she was born, she looked like him. So I was like, so see, now I get to pick the name. You know, and so it ended up being Pilar Janae McKinley.
Aww.
Yeah.
And what is the housing situation right now?
We live together, still not in the city. It's kind of still ongoing a little bit. I think we table it from time to time. It definitely was our biggest hurdle on the show. Like, that third trimester, we had to figure that out, because he was ready to move right then. I'm 9 months pregnant, so I was trying to convince him, you know, at least if we're gonna move, let's wait. And you know, then his mom had an opinion about that, and my mom was like, well, this is your house, you should stay. So we were like split down the middle. And that's a part of a lot of the drama on Portia's having a baby coming up. But right now, we are still living outside of the city, and I promised him that I would still look. That's what I said. Okay. He said that he wanted to look at condos, so now I told him I'll look. Haven't looked yet, but I will look.
Yeah. I loved in the special that you're so far along in your pregnancy, like about to pop.
Yeah, you love that part.
Because it's so funny, like, seeing in the interview, and you're just like, why did you guys do this to me?
Oh my God, it's so funny you would say that, because that was my biggest fear doing it. I was like, guys, like, could we not have done this, you know, at the cute trimester, that second? Because, you know, the second is, you're like, it's a breeze. I love being pregnant. It's amazing. Then the third trimester, you're like, I can't even breathe. I can't sleep. I can't eat. This baby is big. She's kicking me. And so I was like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do it. But in my interview, they were like, you can do what you want. They were like, if you want to lay to the side, if you want to change positions, if you want to eat during the interview or whatever, you have free reign. And so then, and that's what you see. I didn't know they were going to put in my burps. Now, most of those burps, it's so funny, because I would blame, you know, burps and all that nasty stuff on PJ. I'd be like, oh, PJ made me burp. PJ made me this. And the other day I burped and Dennis was like, no, that was all you. I'm like, that's right. I'm not pregnant. I can't even blame it on her no more. Yeah.
Also, having the camera in the refrigerator is just amazing.
That's a true story. Okay, that's late night going in there trying to find anything to snack on. At that moment, I think I grabbed some fruit or something, but normally I'm picking off of the ham.
I mean, fruit with a lot of whipped cream.
I know. Half of it in my mouth first. It's like the whipped cream is in there first, then you just drop pieces of fruit to go with it.
So who of the housewives has been most supportive since you've given birth?
Honestly, all the girls have been very supportive. You know, I think them knowing that I'm a first-time mom and it's in the beginning, you know, with a newborn, they know how hard it is. They definitely call and check on me like, hey, how are you and PJ doing? You know, how's breastfeeding? How's formula? How's whatever? You know, they call and make sure that I'm good. All of them, actually.
Even Nene?
No, she wasn't included in at all.
Okay, I wasn't sure.
She's a coworker. You know, like she said, my friends on the show, they have called.
So then can I safely assume she did not send a baby gift?
Never came, never got it.
Interesting. Okay. I want to go back a little bit to the reunion.
Okay.
What did you think as a whole? I mean, first of all, is it different doing a reunion when you're so close to giving birth?
Again, I didn't know what to expect. I'm like, Lord, you know, I should be sitting off to the back somewhere. Like, I don't know what could happen. I didn't know if I could give birth at the reunion. I mean, because at that point, PJ was full term. She could have come at any moment. I could have had contractions or whatever. I did go into the reunion. I said to myself, you know what? I'm just going to operate in love. You know, I'm going to just be petty. I'm going to, like, joke on people. I'm going to, like, have an opinion on what everybody's got going on. You know, just because you can do that when you're pregnant. Who's going to be able to be mean to you when you're pregnant? So I had a good time. I don't know about the other girls. I had fun at the reunion.
Okay. I mean, you did actually look like you were having fun. Some people did not look like they were enjoying
it. I know. Yeah, some people had that straight frozen face going on. But you know, I love when I sit by Cynthia. I have to say, when we sit next to each other, we are so petty. We be like slapping each other and like poking each other, like, girl, you heard what she said and this and that. Like, we have fun. So people were definitely bothered, but we weren't. We were having a good time.
Good. Now, if there's another season of The Real Housewives of Atlanta, please God, have you and Dennis discussed if you would want PJ to be on the show, how you guys will deal with that?
I think that that would have been a bigger discussion if we didn't do the baby special. I think because we've already filmed her birth, I mean, how much in depth can you get than that? And so her face was shown when they came back to my house. Now that, I have to say, I had some reservations about, because they were like, we want to film, you know, when she comes out. And I was like, okay, like, okay, you know, me, I'm like real transparent, like, okay. But then you start like getting protective, like, I don't know if I want her on the show, da, da. And I just decided to go ahead and just show the whole experience, because people have been so supportive from back when I told people that I had dealt with fibroids and had a miscarriage to now, and I just didn't want to cheat people of the rest of the journey. And I feel like, honestly, when I meet my fans, they feel like I'm their sister, cousin, et cetera, and that this is their niece, okay, and that they want to see her. So I think because we already filmed her on the baby special, that it'll be a natural transition to go ahead and let her be seen on Housewives. Yeah.
Because Dennis is newer to this whole experience of putting your life out there, were there any moments during filming the special that were particularly frustrating for him?
Yeah, when I would get upset. Because you have to keep in mind, at this point, I'm in my third trimester, so I was like 3 weeks, 2 weeks from delivering. And nobody wants to look like they are pissing off or making a pregnant woman sad or doing anything bad to a pregnant woman. So anytime I would be upset, he would be worried about, they're going to think that I did something to you, or why were you crying? And, you know, I'm going to be the bad guy. And I was like, I just had to just tell him, like, babe, this is just our real life. Like, You're not doing anything to me out of the ordinary, you know, that people don't go through. We're just doing it on camera, okay? So we're having disagreements. You don't yell at me and curse at me. We're just having disagreements that we have to work through. And I have to remind him that there is, it's a journey, and that at some point we work it out. So don't worry about what people say online about, you know, oh, how dare he do this, or like when he did the offer and didn't tell me and I was pissed about it. Don't worry about people saying, oh, he could be this or he could be that. Just know that we're still together. We're about to get married. They're going to see the end of it. But as the show works, they're going to have an opinion along the way. That's how it works.
Right. How is wedding planning going?
I haven't started yet.
Yeah.
So I am... because I'm still on maternity leave, we're still concentrating on PJ. I didn't want to, like, bring on a whole nother project. Yeah. It's like, it's like everything to, like, cater to her. We are her little slaves around the house. Yeah, we're going to start planning when I get off maternity leave. So in a couple weeks, we will start planning. We got to find the planner, and I have to tell her my vision. And we're kind of on opposite sides, because he wants a small wedding. I want a big wedding. He wants to kind of be destination, and I want to be in town. But for me, it's going to be magical if it's just people who love us and support us. That's it. Like, I've had the super big wedding, and people were there, and they're taking your picture. You're like, who are you again? You know, but I really just, Dennis and I thrive off of energy. That's how we fell in love so fast. So we want people who are there who know us and who really are cheering for us.
Lastly, anything to tell the fans about what they can expect for the rest of the season on the baby special?
The rest of the listen, the laughs continue. Dennis thinks I am so funny. Half of the time, I don't even know what I'm doing that cracks him up. But apparently, it's cracking up America, too. So, yes, that continues. I'm goofy, okay? And then there's a lot of drama that happens with the moms. You know, they are definitely on opposite sides when it comes to whether we should move or not, or whether they should even talk about things that we argue about. So they kind of go head to head, and I have some issues with them as well. But, you know, at the end of the day, it all ends in love. But yes, it is definitely about to get a little heated on the show.
I can't wait.
You want to see it? Like, yes. See it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Let's do Rose and Thorn.
Okay, let's do Rose. rose and thorn.
Okay, what was your rose?
Okay, so even though it was the most cringeworthy thing to happen on the network this week, it's still my rose because I love cringe.
Yeah.
It was the speech at Ramona's charity event where not only did Sonia start interrupting, but then Dorinda was like, Bridie, tell them about the time you got molested. It was just like, what is happening?
A friend of a family, a friend of a family, a friend of a family. She kept saying that, and I was like, oh, my God.
You're afraid to come forward.
It was a friend
of a
family.
And they can stay. Can I finish?
A friend of a family.
Can I finish?
You can finish, but I'm adding something.
Oh, my God.
It's a friend of a family.
These two.
It was
You're
a friend
on the
of
committee. She's the host.
Oh.
I had actually watched the clip because it was a preview clip on BravoTV.com ahead of that episode. So I had seen a couple people like tweet about it prior. So I was like, all right, let me check this out before I watch the full episode. And so I did. And I suffered maybe through like half of the clip on the website, which was 3 minutes. So maybe a minute and a half. And I was like, I can't. I was like, I have to stop because I knew I was going to just watch it in the episode later on. And I was just like, oh, this is so uncomfortable.
Oh, it's so uncomfortable.
I mean, at the end of the day, they raised a lot of money. So the event itself was a success, but that speech was a disaster.
I can't. Okay, what was your rose?
Well, my rose actually also came from Real Housewives of New York City, and it was during the Halloween scene at Lou's party that she and I think Sonia were hosting technically. I almost went to that event because I knew a couple people who were going and like people who were helping organize it, some people on Luann's team. But I decided against it because I had tickets to see Fleet Mac Wood, which is a Fleetwood Mac cover band at La Poisson Rouge. And I wore like a disco outfit. And it was really fun. But my rose is that my friend Parker got a whole B-roll segment dancing in the audience, like on when they came back from like a commercial break, because I knew he was at the party and I was like, I wonder if he'll get on camera. And he was, and he was dancing and he had a good time, and I recorded it and I sent him the video when I watched it. And he was like,
cute.
A star is born. I was like, yes, Parker. What was your thorn?
So my thorn, also from New York, also from the Halloween party, was Luann's costume. I don't understand. Like, they said she was a nurse, but she looked like a linebacker?
With like the shoulder pads that she had on. Yeah, I guess it was supposed to be like freaky.
No,
nurse.
It didn't. It didn't make sense.
The whole hospital theme honestly like freaks me out. Like the whole mental institution thing. Like, I don't know. It all freaks me out anyway. So just like, meh. And some people didn't even, I mean, Bethany came as an angel, so some people did not follow.
But also kept saying it was an angel, but like clearly it was a Victoria's Secret angel.
I mean, exactly, a Victoria's Secret angel. Sorry, Bethany. My thorn is also from Real Housewives of New York City, and it is just overall Harry Dubin.
Oh, really? She's going to leave us to talk to Harry f***ing Dubin?
I know.
I don't want to talk to Harry, and she invites him. Does Ramona want Harry? Harry loves me.
Like, he's just like, ugh. He's just gross. And for him to pop up in this episode the way he was and then, like, flirting with Ramona and just, like, he just doesn't go away.
He sure doesn't.
He, like, what is his intention? And he's, like, he's trying to, like, vibe with everyone. He's like, oh, yeah, everyone's at Elton John tonight. It's, like, just, like, get out of here. Nobody cares.
Agreed.
Bye, Harry. Next week, we're going to have Ariana Madix from Vanderpump Rules and the Grand Dame, Karen Huger from Real Housewives of Potomac.
Hi, I'm John.
And I'm Darren.
We're the hosts of Oxygen's true crime podcast, Martinis and Murder.
We're pouring drinks and talking crime.
With new episodes every Thursday and Sunday.
Indulge in your true crime obsession without all the heavy stuff.
Subscribe now and download Martinis and Murder wherever you listen to podcasts.
Cheers.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 9. And remember, watching Bravo isn't a guilty pleasure.
It's self-care.
Guys, let's keep the conversation going. We want to talk to you all week long, not just Thursdays. You can find us on Twitter or Instagram at BravoTV.
Don't forget to use the hashtag BravoDailyDish.
Or reach out to us personally. I'm everywhere at Meg Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack, E-R-I-K.
And if you're on Facebook, join the Daily Dish Facebook group.
You can post about what you're watching, your favorite shows, who's your favorite housewife, ask a question, start some drama. There's a lot of good stuff in there, so check it out. You can also learn more about the podcast at bravotv.com.
TTYL.
Bye.
Bye.
Looking fine, and I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy. Miss me, kiss.